I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain.
Welcome along to another episode of the Shirtless Plantain Show. I'm your host, Tosin. You do not have Tommy today because he's out thinking he's better than everybody and was going to get a tattoo. So that's why Tommy's not here today. I have the lovely Liz today. It's family. How you doing today?
I'm very well. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a great week with a great last 3 days, 2 days for Ghanaian people. So I was like, you know what? Let me bring in another Ghanaian. Semenyo played very well yesterday. Kudus scored today, and Ernest Pokku scored today. So I was like, you know what? Let's bring on another Ghanaian, even though we don't trust Ghanaian men. But
we definitely don't trust Ghanaian men. Absolutely not. I took Kudus out of my fantasy league last night at like 6 p.m., 30 minutes before the deadline. And of course, he scores and assists today. So Don't trust Ghanaian men, whatever you do.
Don't trust men, period, right? I think that's what women have been
period.
Telling you.
Clock it.
Okay.
Clock it.
Yeah, middle fingers always. But yeah, let's talk about Man United today. I'm not going to show you my sassy side. I'm leaving that alone. But let's talk about the lineup. Lamine's made his debut today. Cunha got dropped. Mason Mount started. Casemiro, Bruno midfield, and Ahmad and Dalot with the wingbacks. What did you think when you saw the lineup? I know we all kind of freaked out a little bit, but what did you think when you saw it?
For me, whenever Dalot starts, I'm never a fan. I think he just negates a lot of what we can do in the build-up, in the final third, and defensively he's not great either. I was glad that we finally changed the goalkeeper. We can't keep rewarding bad performances with continuous, starting 11 appearances. Casemiro, our midfield is lacking in, strength and, a lot of talent. And we just continue to play either, players who have no technical ability or players with technical ability without any athletic ability. And that's where Casemiro falls in for me. As for Bruno, whole other conversation. I'm not even going to get into that right now.
I think we've talked ad nauseum about our feelings on Bruno in midfield. I think as a collective, or at least the United fans I'm friends with, at least, all know that we love Bruno going forward. He's an amazing player. But I think Bruno in the pivot takes away so much from him. And we're kind of tired of seeing it. But we'll talk about today's game. But 3 minutes into the game, Sunderland had a really big chance, which was called offside. Bertrand Traore missed the chance. But again, you just said it like not too long ago. Dalot was caught lacking. Which goes to your point. Xhaka had a really good pass out to Adingra, and that didn't really go well. But again, I was scared coming to this game because I thought Granit Xhaka was going to be Granit Xhaka, but somehow Xhaka was nullified, and we'll talk about that.
You know what? For me, I wasn't scared that we were going to lose at any point. And the reason is a lot of this team, they lack character and they lack courage. So whenever we play at home, and if we're playing a team that is quote-unquote lesser than we are, I'm actually not scared we're going to lose. It's when we go to away matches or when the team scores first and Man United need to show some character, some grit, some determination. That's when I'm like, yeah, we're going to lose. But Sunderland at home, I didn't think we were going to lose at any point. I did think we might let them back in the match, but going into the match, I was actually kind of pissed off because I was like, we're going to win this match and Amarin's going to stay in the job and this is just going to continue on and on and on.
Yeah, it's an ever-ending cycle. But then Mason Mount ended up getting the goal, his first goal of the season. It was a great touch, great finish, great pass from Mbeumo. But the highlight of this goal was really Ahmad and Mbeumo. Those two were incredible today, especially Ahmad. Mm-hmm. Like Ahmad smelt blood in the water, and from minute one, he wanted to go off, and it was great. But it was a really good goal for Mason Mount. I think the ball was supposed to go to Šeško, but Mason Mount had a really good first touch. And what you do in that situation is you finish it as soon as you can. So, really good finish for Mason Mount. What do you think about the goal?
I mean, I think it's testament to the Francophone link up on the right hand side. Yeah. I think I would probably have Ahmad as man of the match, especially him coming off of bereavement leave. I think he played very consistently out of everyone up front, him and Cesco. In Bremo, again, really good cross. We expect that from him. Even when he isn't on his A game, his floor is like a 6.5, 7 out of 10. So I don't think he played particularly too well today, but he still does enough of the right things and gets in the right areas that he poses a threat. Mason Mount is just the bane of my existence. He, unfortunately, he plays very well in this system. Unfortunately, he's one of those manager's pets that does all of the right things. Mm-hmm. He scores again, so he's going to continue playing in the system, playing in the starting 11.
Yeah, Mason Mount is the coworker that you have that always runs around pretending he's busy, but you wonder why he gets promotions.
Absolutely.
They love him for some reason. So we've all worked with a Mason Mount. We've all played with a Mason Mount. But he does the basics well. So I guess that's why he gets the job done. 20th minute, Ahmad had a shot and chance. He ate ground. He's running at defenders all day and he had a shot on goal, which, again, Šeško's hold up play in that shot. Šeško has been looking very, very good. And we'll talk about him more as we continue on. 2 minutes later, Mbeumo had a chance. Another interplay between Ahmad and Mbeumo again. Mbeumo had a shot on goal. I like Sunderland's goalkeeper. What do you think about Robin Roos?
I think he's good. He's proactive. He's very athletic as well. And he makes his presence known. So I was glad we got an early goal in, because I think if we allowed him to save a few shots, the pressure starts to mount. And you know how away teams like to, they smell blood whenever we're under pressure. So sure. I think the away, the early goal definitely helped us, because otherwise it definitely could have been tricky. But yeah, some of them definitely, they've picked up a lot of good guys, even in defense. Alderete really impresses me. I think he's perfect for the Premier League. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a big move at some point in next year or so. And they have a really strong, robust backline.
Yeah, they decided to get a whole bunch of big black dudes and then get a whole bunch of just like athletic white guys. It's just like, oh, that's how you're supposed to, that's what you're supposed to do in the transfer window. It's like, get the most, like, I thought they were going to get Jordan Henderson, but I think Xhaka looks a little bit better for them. I think Henderson would have been a more of a romantic story, but I think with what they bought and what they're trying to build, Granit Xhaka makes more sense than Jordan Henderson in this team. And you could probably see that week in and week out whenever they play, but they look good. Back to Robin Roos. Bruno Fernandes has a chance in the 25th minute, which this kind of sums up Bruno Fernandes in a sense, where it's just like he's the most frustrating player in the world, but out of nowhere, put a rabbit out of the hat. That shot,
that technique.
Yeah. It was supposed to go in.
This world. Yeah. It should have went in. It should have went in. A couple of inches lower, that's a perfect goal. That's a postage stamp type goal. Again, came out of nowhere. He didn't start the match well, I don't think, but he definitely grew into it. And that goal, if we had scored at that point, I would have been like, yeah, it's game over. If Bruno's scoring these type of goals just out of nowhere, we're at home, it's done.
Yeah. 5 minutes later, Šeško got a goal. It was a set piece from Dalla, throw in the box, and it was a really good finish. One of the things I love about Šeško's game that's really starting to show in the weeks and weeks since he's got signed is he's really, really athletic. He's quicker than what we thought he was, and he knows how to pass and move. And one of the best things that he has that Rashford didn't have is that his first touch is really, really good. Like, his first touch doesn't bounce around like a pinball. It doesn't really look like he's scared. His first touch is neat, and that's what you need as a professional football player. I'm sorry. Like, there are players who don't have good touches, but they get away with it because of their speed and because of their relentlessness. But Šeško has a really, really good first touch, which he brings everyone into, and you've seen it throughout different times of this game alone that his first touch is amazing, and that links everybody in. But he looked good today, and he deserved his goal. And Lily had a conversation about 3-4 weeks ago with one of my homies, and he was just like, I don't think Šeško looks good. I was like, give him time. I said, he's young. He's just joining a new league. He's come from the German league. I said, if by November, December, he hasn't shown anything, then you can write him off. I said, we said the same thing about Rashford, but you can see the subtle difference between him and Rashford. So what do you think about Šeško?
Oh, 100%. I think there's night and day in terms of his holder play between him and Rasmus. I think also they're slightly different profile of player. I think a lot of people conflate the two because, they're two big, strong, like Viking-looking guys who play up front, right? But Rasmus is more of a, pass the feet so that he can run off of the last defender into space. Šeško is more of an all-round athletic really big target man, but like you said, he does have a lot of technical ability. His first touch is perfect, and his pace, once he turns you, he's gone. And he just has that strength and that size that, unlike Rasmus, the other team can't really grapple him and wrestle him and, you know, put the Stone Cold Stunner on him like they did with Rasmus. They have to contend with the fact that this guy's like 6'6", like all muscle, and he's fast. Like, move your hands. It's time to run.
Yeah, I mean, he literally could be a small forward or shooting guard in the NBA if he really wanted to, if he could do that path. That's how Towns was allegedly, you know, whatever. But he had this really good shoulder pass, too, in the first half. Mm. And I was like, oh, he's comfortable. He's very, very comfortable. You start pulling out shoulder passes, like, yeah, you're very comfortable. 37th minute, something happened in this minute, which I'm sure you probably noticed. Maybe others didn't. But they brought on Ballard for, was it a great? Yeah, I think they brought him on for a ding in the 37th. And they went to a back five. And that changed the entire course of the game. Because when they had four at the back, they're a little bit more open. United could get at them. Now United were stuck. 43rd minute. Lemons had a save from Xhaka, which was really, really good. That was his first save. And then a minute later, he caught a ball from the cross. And I was like, oh, wow. So this is what it's like to have a goalkeeper.
I haven't seen that in so long. And goalkeeper who can catch? Yeah. The goalkeeper with presence in the box? Wow, I haven't seen that at all. I do want to say on the formation change for Sunderland, I definitely noticed it. And I think it came off of Alderete getting a yellow card for tackling Cesc when, again, he turned him, Cesc was gone, he had to hold him back. And obviously, from the Sunderland point of view, Alderete has been one of their best defenders, so they weren't going to take him off. So I think they had to make that change again as part of their defensive robustness to try and combat us. I don't think we reacted quickly enough. And if, again, we were playing a better team or more confident team, or we were playing away from home, I think our lackadaisical response to other teams' tactical changes could have caught us out on another day, for sure.
Yeah, and again, this is why, again, we'll get to this, but in the 48th minute, because everyone remember this part where we talked about, you know, the subs and all of that, because it's something I want to talk about ad nauseum a little bit longer. But 48th minute, Sunderland had a penalty shout. They went to VAR. Wasn't a penalty. The ball hit him, and Sesko's foot was high, but Sesko did not touch him at all. Not in the slightest. You could tell Sesko felt bad. Like, I saw in his face, I was like, no, you're fine. Because I think sometimes when you have that pressure on Old Trafford and you do make mistakes, the fans will kill you. But so halftime comes along. What was your thoughts, feelings at halftime?
Honestly, I was just praying that the Old Trafford halftime record was going to remain intact. Yeah. I was hopeful. I was glad that we had not a lot of controversial incidents. I wanted more clear-cut chances. Yeah. It's just one of those things where, again, you know, my expectations were on the floor and we played okay. So I can't say I was happy. I was more like, let's see how we close this match. Let's see if we can turn this into a 4-0, 5-0 stat pad session, or if it's going to become one of those things where we're up, it's easy, but we somehow make it super difficult for ourselves.
Yeah. I did notice something, as Scripto tweeted it, a really great writer, by the way, if you guys don't follow him, but he basically said that the shape has been better off the ball in the first half, and Buemo was staying a little bit more closer to Sesko, and it was kind of like a 4-4-2. 5-2 based off of, like, you know, Ahmad and Euro's positioning. But yeah, it changed once Sunderland went to five at the back. And I know it's little nerdy things that we notice. I know some people might not notice it, but it's like, I noticed these things in the first couple of minutes. That's like, who's playing where, which is, again, I'm going to talk about this as we get into the second half. But I said that this is a really good United squad. I think that profile wise, we have a lot of really good talent in the squad. Obviously, we lack midfield depth, which is why we have an academy system to bring those boys along. But I think that this is a really good team that is a reflection of the coach, where the coach is very panicked. And when his back's against the wall, they'll do the best. But I think that for those who call me an idiot in my Twitter and my mentions, all of that stuff, I'm smarter than you. And then I will beat you up. So don't ever try that. Please remember that I can fight. Okay. But the point I was trying to say is that I think there's a really good team that's hamstrung by their coach. And we do this song and dance because we play Liverpool next when we come back from international break. And that's going to be a tough game because we're going away to Anfield. And United don't do too well against Liverpool in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. We haven't really got a result away at Anfield. Maybe one or two.
One field is the last one.
I mean, I do you remember the 7-1? I remember the 7-1. That's when I really gave up on sports as an actual player. You know what? Nothing's going to bother me. But I think this is a really good squad that's like kind of held back by the manager in a sense. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm on record as saying on paper, you know, in theory, I think we have one of the best teams. Maybe not the best midfield because, like you said, we lack depth. But if we have a 4-3-3 formation, we have very good profiles in each of those positions when people are on song. And looking at the rest of the league, I know it's early days. We're only like 6-7 games in. But there's no, to me at least, there's no outstanding team that is head and shoulders above everyone else. You know, City usually come in at their own around November, December, January or so. So they might do that again. Arsenal are quite strong and have been strong for a number of years. But again, there's no one you look at and it's like, yeah, these guys are blowing it out of the water. If we were more confident, if we were playing our players in a better profile that they're used to, that they're comfortable with, I think we'd be in and amongst the top six for sure.
Yeah.
And that's coming off of a season where we finished 15th. To go from 15th to potentially have a squad that's capable of top six within, you know, 3 months, I think that's testament to the players that we've signed. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really, you know, black mark against Amrun that he can't get results from these players.
Yeah, I mean, and you saw it today. Again, this game is an example of why I said that this team is held back by Ruben. Because you saw in the first 35 minutes how well they could play when they're put in positions for them to play well, which is why I tweeted. I said, if you coach and platform this team right, they'll be in a lot better positions than what we see in a daily basis. So, again, calling me an idiot for literally saying what everybody sees is kind of funny to me, but whatever. Second half started, and Sunderland started off building pressure, which you mentioned. And I kept thinking to myself, is this a coaching issue or play issue that every single time United face adversity and face pressure, they look lost? So I'm not sure if that's a player or coaching issue or if it's like a yes to both of that. I don't know.
I think whenever, because ultimately any sport is about momentum, right? So you expect, even if you're winning 3-0, at some point the opposition is going to have some sort of momentum. And it's on you as both the players and the coach to respond to that, right? I think we've seen too many times in the post-Alex Ferguson era where we might be winning 2-0, 3-1, and it should be, you know, a simple match. But as soon as the opposition score again, or they start applying pressure, or they come close, or whatever the case may be, their heads drop instantly. And you can sort of see them collectively saying, ah, here we go again, you know? And then once that ticks off in their heads, everyone stops trying. Nobody has a first touch. Nobody can pass. And again, I'm not sure if it's a coaching issue or a player issue, but for me, everything starts with a coach, right? You will run through a brick wall if you believe in and are inspired by and motivated by your coach. Mm-hmm. And I just think we have had a lot of coaches who, you know, fall susceptible to the pressure. They don't show their bravery and they don't back up their players when it's time, when they need to, really. And we're seeing that with Amrun. He throws everybody else under the bus whenever possible, except for him and his system. Everything else is wrong except for him and his system.
And his goalkeeping coach as well.
We need to see him up front. Clearly, we need to see him up front.
53rd minute, and Mbeumo had a chance, which he skied over, which I believe that pass was... I can't remember who passed him the ball, but it was a really good chance. It was Sesko. I believe it was Sesko.
It was Sesko. Yeah.
I was trying to think in my head, like, yeah, yeah. Sunderland had another penalty shot where Lamas came off his line. It's a long ball. Traore got a yellow, which I don't even know how Bertrand Traore is still in the Premier League, but, you know, it's good hustle if you can make it here, you know. So shout out to Bertrand Traore for still finding a way to hustle and make it in the Premier League.
Black man got a job, man. You got to support that.
Except for black goalkeepers, which...
Except for black goalkeepers, yeah.
Yeah, I think that some things just aren't for black people and goalkeeping is not for us. No. Literally get in the field. Like, what did Big Lotto say? Get in the booth? Get in the booth. Like, go rap. Go rap. This is not for you to be a goalkeeper.
No, it's true.
58th minute, your best friend has a cross, Diogo Dalot, which, yuck. I know you remember that cross because we spoke about that specifically. Yeah.
Listen, Dalot, again, what does he provide in the final third? Like, every now and then he'll score some rocket of a goal, or he'll put in, like, I think he got an assist for the second, for the Sesco goal. But beyond that, we'll be in a position where I think that particular cross, that was when Mason Mount sort of hesied two players at once, turned them both, passed into space, passed to Dalot, perfect cross. You had Sesco there, you had Ahmad there, you had Mbeumo there. Mm-hmm. And what does Dalot do? Pass it to nobody. It doesn't even get close. Yeah. Like, I felt insulted. Like, I felt pissed off for those guys. Like, I saw Sesco literally look to the skies above, like, what was that? And it's just one of those things where, again, if you're a fullback, if you're a wingback, whatever the case may be, that's your bread and butter. That's mm-hmm. where you want to be. You want to be in space. You want to be running onto a ball, and you want to see your teammates in the box, ready to sort of get on the end of any pass that you sort of throw in there. And if you don't help them, like, what are you good for ultimately? I don't look to my wingbacks for their defensive ability. I don't look to them for how fast they are. It's all in the little quality details, like your final third.
Yeah.
And Dalot has none.
Does not. It's very frustrating. 64th minute, we had some subs. Dogu and Cunha came off of Mason Mount and Dalot. I think Mount coming off, and I know, you know, some of us don't like Mason Mount. I think kind of changed it a little bit. Mason Mount, he does a lot of the... Okay, let me say this about Mason Mount. Mason Mount does a lot of the teacher's pet work, but he works his ass off. Diogo Dalot is a teacher's pet who doesn't do the work, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So Lamans, 65th minute, came off his line quickly, which I have to say, very good debut from him. He looked very calm and composed. I know we made a joke when he first signed that he looked like he had a bit of the tism. And I like that. I love when my goalkeepers are so unassuming and just look like, if I ever saw them like at an account job, like any, like, you know, middle just job in America, or any job, right? That's what he does. He looks like somebody who just does 9 to 5, come home, eats his microwave dinner, and goes to bed. That's look like
what he does. Yeah, he looks like a sitcom character from the 90s. Like, he looks like he could be in Seinfeld. and ultimately, that's what I want. All Friends, yeah.
Looks like a stereotypical standard white guy. And that's all I want. Just do the basics. And he looked good today. He's clean off his line, quick off his line. He wasn't scared of crosses. He just looked calm and ready and looked like he was here to do his job. Obviously, tougher tests are going to come along. I think Bedeman in before Sunderland, he got a Belgium cap, which helps his confidence. Mm-hmm. He got a sheet, which helps his confidence. So you're going into the international break full of confidence. He did a good job. So it's like, now Liverpool rolls around. Don't knock his confidence. Just keep on building. Goalkeepers should not be confidence players. They should be just do the job, okay? If my goalkeeper is a confidence keeper, I don't want that. Onana was a confidence goalkeeper, and we saw what happened with that. So
Onana was a terrorist in a lot of ways. First of all, Francophone, Black African, you shouldn't be in goalkeeping, number one. No. but back onto Lamins. I agree with every single thing that you said. I think he was really commanding in the box. Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed, there was a lot of good communication between him and De Ligt. So you would see De Ligt often either head the ball or sort of clear the way to allow Lamins to sort of collect the ball. That is something I haven't seen our back players do when Bayindir and Onana was there. So I think there's already a lot more confidence from the defenders, or at least they're trying to instill confidence in Lamens, and just allowing him to, you know, command this area and be the one to be like, yep, I've got this, guys, clear out the way. So I hope we continue to see a lot of that. And even, listen, again, for me, Anfield away, I'm not expecting a lot. If we win, of course, I'm going to be happy. But I'm not expecting a lot. If we lose, I'm not going to put it on Lamens because, again, like you said, we need to give him time. He needs to bed in. It's a brand new league, brand new team, a team with low confidence as well. Like, whatever happens, if we lose, it's never going to be on the goalkeeper. We just need to, you know, allow the guys to bed in together and build up a rapport.
Yeah. And then in the 65th minute, Mbeumo had a really bad pass off the counter. He went to Sesko instead of going out to Ahmad, who would have kept it pushing. And then Boat would have two options in the box. It was just nitpicking, but I do wish he would have went out wide instead of going through the central. 69th minute, not nice, because I'm sick of Casemiro. He had a shot down up in Sao Paulo. Casemiro, man. He gives and he takes. That's his whole thing. He just gives and
takes. Listen, by then, Uncle was tired. Okay. By then, he was tired. The Ozempic has worn off. He needed his, like, you know, cup of tea. Like, he was gone. I think in that 10, there was like a 10 minute sort of like a bunch of time where Casemiro's passing was off. He was just passing to nobody. And allowing pressure. He was ball watching, leaving the midfield wide open for Bruno, of all people, to cover the space. And like you said, he wasn't even doing anything whenever he got a chance in the box. He was just like, he passed it to Sao Paulo. He slipped. He got a yellow card. Like, there was no redeeming him at that point. Like, at that point, you got to put Uncle to bed. It's done. Yeah.
He needed some Horlicks and a good hug. That's what he needs.
Like, he needs some Milo.
Yeah, he needed something. Kobbie Mainoo got some here and there, damn minutes. He looked pretty fast running around. By the way, Chelsea just scored on Liverpool. I know this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I looked at the corner. I think it was Saicedo who scored. I'm trying to look. Yes. Sorry, everybody. I know we're talking about United and this United podcast, but you know, when shiny things catches my eyes, you know, this is why black people shouldn't be in goal, because we see shiny things. I'm seeing people celebrate. I'm like, oh, nigga, I want to dance too. Yes, I say the score. Let's get back to the topic.
Bruno, I have him on my bench.
You said what?
Sorry, go ahead. I was just talking about fantasy football. Yeah, I've got him on my bench.
Yeah. That was a really good finish, too. My guys really looked a little bit lost. Ooh, yeah, that was a really good finish, actually. Not bad.
Damn.
Bruno and Casemiro were very, very annoying today. Bad passes, bad slide tackling. Pair of them. Anyways, Ugarte and Casemiro, Ugarte and Maguire came off of Casemiro in the Euro. I do have a drinking game for you. You could play this with your friends. You could play this with anybody, your family, whoever you drink with. This is for everybody, by the way, who's listening. You could be a non-United fan if you're listening. New drinking game. Take a shot for every game on record that Ruben Emery has subbed a center back for a center back. So that's a new drinking game we're playing.
You are trying to get everyone to be an alcoholic. I feel like that happens damn near every single match.
It's like 43 games he's done it. So you all owe me 43
shots. Out of 50?
Yeah.
That's insane. 43
out of 50, yeah. So for all of you guys who are listening, take a shot of your favorite tequila, Mezcal, 43 times. It can spread over a weekend, but just know that this is a turning point. You have to be 21 in America or 18 in the UK. So. We're only doing this in places where it's legal to drink. In Nigeria, I don't know the drinking age in Nigeria, please. I don't know.
There is no drinking age. You can walk, you can drink.
Yeah, you know? So, 89th minute, Lamas had a save. And it was pretty much routine after that. United won 3-0. 2-0, excuse me. And I was just happy that we got a clean sheet, we got a goal, and we're not going international break as the crisis team. Get your 3 points, get your clean sheet, and leave the rest up to God, because this has nothing to do with us at this point. We can hate watch freely for the rest of the weekend.
Thank God.
Yeah. So.
Thank God. And you know, whenever we go into international, because you know how United is, like, we have all of the headlines. Even when we're doing well, they're going to bring up stories about whatever, whoever. Rashford, for some reason, like, Anthony's going to start talking again. Who knows? So I'm just glad that, like, we did, or the players did their jobs on the pitch. So whatever news concoction they're going to come up with is going to be off the field related. Yeah. So at least they've done their part.
Yeah. You know, so interesting to me, as an aside, I saw someone mention and say that what's it called, the best midfielder in the world? Saicedo. It's Pedri. Okay. There's no other midfielder in the world that's better than Pedri. Let's leave that there. It's Pedri. Okay, it's Pedri and Vitinha, and everybody else comes after that. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
I think Neves is in there as well.
Yeah, well, those three, and leave it alone after that. But it's so interesting that, you know, we do get 3 points. We look calm, and hopefully, there's no noise going into national break, because I don't want to hear anything. Be quiet, okay? Everybody, coaches, players, go see your national teams and just shut up, okay?
Yeah.
We did what we had to do, which was a job. A job today was to get 3 points. And that's all we needed was 3 points. And hopefully, we all know Ruben's going to be back for his national break. He's not going anywhere. We knew that. So,
listen, it is what it is at this point. Our leaders in the club are not leading from the front. They're not being proactive. Mm-hmm. So as fans, we can only sit here. we can only support as best as we can, and you know, with as much patience as we all have. But we know everything comes from top down, and those guys at the top, they're not doing anything worthwhile anyway.
Ruben was a bit sassy in his post interview, by the way. He said, basically talking about his players. I know they don't want to change the coach all the time. 3 consecutive wins at Old Trafford. That's how it should be at a big club. We lost the first one against Arsenal. We played very well. We're competitive at home, but you have to be competitive at home in a way. What else has he said? I'm reading the quotes. Nothing really interesting. He said, there's no momentum with our team. For me, the frustration is not to see the same team home and away. We didn't play well in the second half, but we were focused. What else did this guy say? He talked about Lamens. He said, I think he looks confident in the first game, but the important thing is the teammates help Sunday to have a good game. Lots of focus, not a lot of mistakes. We should have known that those two players we signed in, Šeško and Lamens, were really good when they wanted the one, asked to really get rid of Martinez for him. Two, mm-hmm. When they were selling Isak, they wanted to get Šeško. And one coach I know can whisper very well to strikers is Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe and Jason Tindall know how to talk to strikers. So once I realized those two boys were, that's where the teams that wanted to go, I was like, okay, we might have something in these players.
I'm a football manager player, and Šeško has been one of those wonder kid buys since like Football Manager 2020 or so. Ragnik sang his praises a few years ago as well. Like, he's just been one of those guys that plays continental football, and a lot of people in the industry just quietly saying he could be one of the next ones. So I was excited for Šeško. Lamens, I didn't really know much about. I don't keep up with the Belgium league. I mean, what even is Belgium as a country, as a concept?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to put on my right here, and I'm telling everybody this right now. If you have time, go watch the Belgian league. There are so many talented players in that league, which I am very, very weak in the week. I'm just like, whoa. He came from, like, what's his name? From Crystal Palace. Munoz. You know Munoz came from the Belgian league? Again, there's some talent in that league where I'm just like, hey.
Listen, there's talent in every league. There'll be talent that we find out, was playing like non-league Welsh football at the age of 19. And then they just get, you know me, gotta support my local teams. But there's definitely, you know, if you're talented, you're going to get noticed, especially with how global football is nowadays. Mm-hmm. Lamont, he just wasn't really on my radar. But also, I don't think the goalkeeping talent pool has been that great. Since the likes of Neuer, Courtois, De Gea, all of those guys have sort of phased themselves out. I don't think the current crop that's up and coming has really been, you know, setting the world alight. But, you know, hopefully Lamens is, you know, a diamond in the rough, and we've got something that we can have long term.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, for me, when I look at the Belgium league, I'm like, hey, there's some talents there.
Have you been to Belgium?
I don't want to go to Belgium. Okay,
this is just it's like the size of Brooklyn.
I've got a lot of friends who are Congolese. Okay, after what Leopold did to them people, like, I'm not. I don't
have reparations. Reparations. Yeah. No.
Like, so yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting to see all these young Dutch players. Like, I think what Netherlands has become, what the Dutch league is becoming, is like a really good feeder teams for coaches and players. I think there's a lot of talent there. But again, we're talking about Belgium. I do not care about Belgium this much to talk about Belgium. So no. But Lamens look good. Yeah. We look good today in the first 35 minutes, I'd say. But again, it's just building on this, you know. So I'm glad we have international break and get away from this club, because I'm tired of talking about me.
Listen, I think today is one of those wins where, you know, if this was, I say this all the time, my football North Star is Alex Ferguson, right? That's what I compare everything to. Maybe it's not right because he was the greatest of all time. But if this was a win that we had under Alex Ferguson, is one of those routine wins, is one of those wins where, you know, we're going to win before the game even starts. Doesn't matter who starts, is, you know, we're at home. Doesn't matter what form we're in, we should be winning this type of game. We don't need to play fantastic, amazing football. I think for the current squad that we're in, I would have liked us to score a lot more goals just for confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Just because I think we need to get the likes of Cunha up and running. Ahmed, he played very well, but I think he deserved the goal as well. You know, get Sesko a couple of, you know, good. He's a good long range like striker. You know, this is the type of game where he could have tested the keeper a little bit more, in my opinion. But ultimately, I don't think we've learned anything new about the team or about the squad after this match.
No, our next games is really we're going to be tested because we got Liverpool, Brighton, Forest, Oof. Tottenham, Oof. And international break. So Liverpool, Brighton, Forest, Tottenham. Really, really is going to say everything about you. And then we mm-hmm. come right back to Everton, to Palace, to West Ham, to Wolves, and Bournemouth. And it doesn't get easy after that either. So it's just like, yeah, good luck. Godspeed, Ruben. The job is, like I said, I've said a million times, right? Like Ruben, on paper, technically, is one of the most talented young coaches in the world. That's what they call mm-hmm. Ruben. He's very talented, but we haven't seen it. You know, we've had mm-hmm. 50 games with Ruben and Amorim in charge, and he hasn't had back-to-back wins, which is insane. Mm-hmm. They have invested a lot into this team. It's very top-heavy. We did want midfielders, but again, there's enough there to make it work. In the academy, mm-hmm. we talk about Dwayne all the time. We talk about James Fitzgerald. We talk about both the Fletcher twins. We talk about Sekou Kone. These are relatively unknown players when it comes to playing in the first team, but you have to take a risk. You know, mm-hmm. that's what coaches do, is they find gems. That's how they found Lamine Yamal. That's how they found, mm-hmm. you know, what's the other kid, Marc Bernal. So this is how they're mm-hmm. finding all these young talents in Barcelona, like Joel Fernandez started the other day, which most people don't know who the hell Joel Fernandez is, but you give these kids chances, so you define who's the best. Like, we have a kid, Samuel Lassell. If we go back to a 4-3-3,
oh,
I think he's playing right back. I don't think he's going to play right wing. So we have the talent. Is you have a coach who's bold enough to make these decisions to go play these players. So I like Ruben. I just want more from him. And it's literally in his hand. Like, the same, what did Jay-Z say? The same sword that knights you will goodnight you. So it's like, yo,
mm-hmm.
up to you if we really, really want to keep this job. I have no issue wanting to get rid of him. You know, if he starts to have an uptick in form, good on him. If not, the job is, you know, like we said before, this team and this league right now, it's open. You know, mm-hmm. the Premier League is very open this season. So. Yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts for you about Ruben and what's happening?
For me, Ruben, I think similar to you, I wanted him before we got him. I thought, you know, we might have a really good coach right before he ascends into becoming a very good manager. Mm-hmm. I think he's obviously smart. I think he's one of those people that can overthink a little bit sometimes. He's entirely too stubborn. Entirely, you know, ego driven as well. And I think philosophy wise, he kind of struggles with the identity that Man United have because, mm-hmm. To your point, we do have great talents in the academy team that don't necessarily need to come in and play, you know, from the starting minutes or whatever the case may be. But, you know, even in a game like today, you know, we're 2-0 up, we're at home, Sunderland are not doing anything to us. Throw in someone like a Shay Lacy. Throw in someone like a Jack Fletcher in midfield. Just to, again, be part of that Man United identity, to start introducing academy players and get easy wins for you as a manager. Because you know that the Stretford and the entire Old Trafford crowd is going to go up as soon as they see the next up-and-coming academy graduate. I think he's making his job harder for himself as well. I don't think we've seen as much patience with a manager who has had this many bad results back to back to back. I mean, Moyes We were sick of that guy by Christmas. And we had just won the league the year before, you know. And we didn't give him anywhere near as much time. LVG, the same. Mourinho, we all respected, you know, what he did and what he accomplished. So again, we gave him time. Solskjaer, if it wasn't for that, you know, Solskjaer's at the wheel run. That's what got him to, almost 3 years in the role. He should have went way earlier than that. And again, Ten Hag as well. We spent 600 mil supporting Ten Hag. So really, truthfully, I think as a club, we are entirely too patient with managers who have proven themselves to not be good enough. And Ruben needs to understand, in my opinion, that he should be under a lot more pressure. It's unfathomable that we haven't had back-to-back wins. His win rate is 27%. Yeah, we've won three home games this season, but two of them have been against newly promoted teams. And the third one was against a 10-man Chelsea, who almost got back in the game. So, you know, again, we're not seeing anything amazing. I'm not seeing his long-term vision. I'm not seeing a lot of fire and passion on the pitch. I'm seeing it off the pitch and in the press conferences. He's incredibly spicy. He's incredibly defensive. And he's incredibly stubborn. But at some point, something has to give, you know?
He's just this typical... I don't know what it is with coaches nowadays. I feel like coaches nowadays want to be the star instead of being the actual in the room where you make the sensible decisions. It doesn't matter who you hurt. They want to be the star. Like Chelsea's game today, they're playing Malo Gusto in center midfield. Why? Andre Sanchez on the bench. Like some of these coaches sometimes do things where I'm just like, you know, you don't have to do this, right? Like, you don't have to be married to a 3-5-2 system at Manchester United. Like you don't have to. Like, you know, like, this is why I love Mikel Arteta. And I know a lot of people don't like Mikel Arteta. I like Mikel Arteta for the fact that he's funny and he's an idiot. He does the things that's on the tin. Like, he's the adult in the room. He's like, yo, I don't care how good Miles Lewis-Skelly is was last season. Calafuri is better than him right now, so I'm playing him. It's like, I'm playing the most. And he shores up his defense first, shores up his midfield, attack does whatever they want. But it's like, I need coaches who are the adult in the room. Like, And Notre Dame football coach, Marcus Freeman, when he was at Purdue, he says, I don't care how old or how young I am, I'm the adult in the room, basically. He's like, I'm the coach. You start and you end with respecting me. And that's what it is. And that's why Sir Alex Ferguson was so great for 26 years, again, North Star as well, is that he was a man in the room. Like, I know people were crying about, like, certain players getting sold. I'm like, I was there when Bex got sold, okay? I was there when Cole got sold. I was there when Keno had his fallout with Nicky Buck got sold to Newcastle. It was like, as the adult in the room, excuse me, you have to know when to move, when to pivot, and that's all I need from Ruben Amorim, to understand that you're the adult in the room, okay? Everyone looks towards you. If there's no sort of, like, leadership from you and you're cowering on the sideline when there's penalties, or like, you know, Ruben is whenever we go down, he's always a nervous wreck. If I'm looking to the sideline and my coach is a nervous wreck, why would I care? You know? That's all I have to say.
Like he's just uninspiring, you know? And to your point, it's actually funny. I actually do think he thinks he's being decisive, right? So I do think he's making a stand by being like, you know what? I'm not going to change my system. You know what? Manu, you're not going to get in the team. Mason Mount, you're the first name on the team sheet right after Bruno. Like, I do think he's making a stand with these decisions, but I just think he's one of those things where when Sir Alex sold, you know, Bex and Keane and Stam and all of these guys who were at the prime and one of, you know, amongst the best players in our squad at that time, we still saw the effects of that, right? He had logic behind why he was doing it. As fans, we didn't like it, you know, because we go attached to these players, but there was logic there, you know. I'm not seeing the logic from Amorim. That's my issue. If you want to be bold, if you want to be stubborn, if you want to be, you know, courageous, make sure there's logic there. And I'm just not seeing the logic. Yeah. I'm not seeing the logic in continuing to play players out position. And then when they play badly, you continue to reward them by continuing to play them. There's no logic there.
Yeah. The last thing before we head out of here, it's so easy to make Man United fan love you. Like, just play the academy players, you know, have the players fight, a lot of shots on goal. United fans do not really care too much about the intricate nuances of like, you know, overlapping, underlapping runs. Like, mate, can you fight? Like, and I hear people say this all the time. Like, Keno said it, Rooney said it, and I understand the need to fight, but that's a basic tenet when you're playing for Manchester United. You should know that. Where the difference is in any professional sport is coaching and the finer details, and that's where Man United are lacking. It's not for talent. It's obviously we know the Glazers, we know Ineos, we can talk about the ad nauseum, but when it comes to the coaching and the current squad right now is the finer details, which is why the difference why Arsenal are constantly in the top four, which is why City in the top four, which is why Liverpool have been so good for so long as that. Their attention to detail with their coaching and getting players. Like, Cody Gakpo did not look great anywhere else. I mean, he looked shaky, but then coaching brought him to the next level. Ryan Gravenberch, for example, went to Bayern Munich, was shaky there. Now Liverpool, he's heads and shoulders Liverpool's best midfielder. Mohamed Salah, flailing in the wind elsewhere. He went to Fiorentina, came to England. So it's like getting the finer details and putting players in his position and platforming them. If anything you've heard, that's literally what we all want. Platform your players, put them in the best position, and that's all I want. But he's not doing it, and that's why it's so frustrating. So we won 2-0, clean sheet, all that matters, international break. We can go in there with no crisis. It's great. Ghana plays international break. I know you're going to be a little bit stressed out. I'm already stressed out with Nigeria. Whatever. Anything else going
to
happen for
you? We're this close as Ghana, I mean now. We're this close to qualifying for the World Cup. I just hope the bozo gene doesn't show up because, again, you can't trust Ghanaian men. So let's just pray for that. One other thing I do want to say, thank you very much for having me on the show. By the way, and the only other thing I need to see from Amorim, in my opinion, more academy players. Play more academy players. We only have Mainu as the academy representee on the bench today. That's unacceptable. We have so much talent. Get Jack Fletcher in there. You know, get Shay Lacey in there. Get all of these guys who are capable, if need to be called on, for even 10, 15 minutes. That's that, you know, lift up the fan base a little bit, you know, just a little bit. That's all we need.
Yeah. Appreciate you so much for your time. We're out. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe, do all of that. Liz, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you. I'm Tilton. Liz, we're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.